I usually get closer to it and sit on the floor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you need to since you're shorter than I am, but I might have to for the summary. I'm just going to do that because I'm used to it.
Okay.
And then I'll get out of your way.
Do you want to do title and...
Sure. Did we decide if it's Urania or Urania? I'll do it a couple ways and we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Sing each song twice over. Sing each song twice over. By Urania. By Urania. Read by X-Man Hater.
And Lattice Frames.
Summary. After he retires, Sid retreats to the Canadian wilderness, and no one in the public hears from him for 2 years. But it's not like anyone forgets about him, especially not Gino, who still keeps in touch by phone and email, though he longs for more. Gino is facing the prospect of life without the NHL when Sid's autobiography comes out. Suddenly, everyone wants a comment. Gino didn't even know Sid was writing an autobiography. But he knows now, and he knows there's no way to read Sid's book except as a love letter to Gino. And even if he only meant it as a hockey love letter, it still is. Only Sid won't answer his calls. Gino resolves to ask him about it in person. One problem, he has to find him first.
The morning training camp starts in Pittsburgh. Gino wakes up hungover. It's after 11 o'clock, and he's not even in the right time zone. Retirement is officially terrible. He rolls out of bed and stumbles into the kitchen for a Gatorade. It never tastes as good in Russia. The flavors are all wrong, but it helps with the hangover anyway. Even if it ultimately only reminds him that he's not where he should be. It shouldn't be like this. He's only 36, but that's old enough, apparently. His knee can't take the strain like it used to, and he hates the idea of playing at less than anything. Words. And he hates the idea of playing at anything less than 100%. And Pittsburgh hasn't felt right for 2 years anyway. So, here he is in Moscow, while back home, his team is gearing up for a season without him. It sucks, and it's only been 3 months. He should ask Sid how he kept himself from going crazy, probably. They haven't talked in a while. But he probably has some pointers. But Sid won't be awake for hours, if he answers his phone at all. And Gino has a lot of time to fill before then. Maybe he should schedule another trip to visit some kids. Before he can do much more than finish his breakfast, though, his cell phone starts making a terrible noise. He needs to fix that ringtone now that Sasha isn't in the same country to fuck with it. Still bleary, he stands up and crosses the kitchen. to pick it up from the counter. What? Good morning to you, Zhenya, Seryozha says pleasantly. After so many years in Pittsburgh, the Russian nickname feels wrong. I take it you haven't been to the gym yet this morning? I'm retired, Gino says, even though he's worked out every day this week. He's not going to have Sasha say he's getting fat. Sasha still gets to play. That's insult enough. You need a hobby, Seryozha tells him. Listen, you probably know why I'm calling. So I'm just going to come out and ask, did you know? Gino blinks, frowns. Is he hungover enough to have missed part of the question? He doesn't think so. Know what? Know what? There's a pause, then, Zhenya, are you telling me you haven't read it yet? What the hell? Read what? He asks, exasperated. Seryozha's voice is level, matter of fact. Sydney's memoir. And, well, there goes Gino's plans for the day. Sid's book is titled The Postgame, and apparently it's been out for 24 whole hours without Gino knowing. Gino downloads it on his Kindle while he's still on the phone with Seryozha, who won't tell him a single thing about it. Apparently, Sid dropped it without any publicity, like he's Beyonce or something. Gino would think the similarity is hilarious if he thought it had to do with anything other than Sid flat out refusing to do promotion. He doesn't start reading it right away. Once he does, he's probably not going to sleep until he's finished. Instead, he takes a few ibuprofen and goes to the gym, showers, and walks to his favorite cafe. He's right about the book. Book excerpt here. Helpful notes. Gino's only been gone for the summer, but his English is... a little rusty anyway, and he hasn't made a habit of practicing his reading since... Sid retired. He doesn't have anyone to badger him into it or correct his pronunciation, but his Kindle has a translation function for words that are unfamiliar, and it's good enough. By the time he orders his second cup of tea, he's deep into chapter two. He tries to keep his focus on reading, but questions plague him. Why didn't Sid tell him he was writing a book? Is this why Gino hasn't heard from him in weeks? And why now? Sid still avoids attention like the plague. Even Gino doesn't know where he lives. It was a major topic of speculation in sports media for an entire year after he broke his ankle. As far as Gino knows, Flower has only seen him once since then. Last summer in Quebec. Gino sort of thought Sid was making up for all the privacy he didn't have those 14 years in Pittsburgh. But if he's publishing something like this, well, that privacy is gone now. You okay, bro? As Gino turns the page on the third chapter, his phone rings with his fifth call from his agent. The first message, which Gino ignored, was a request for a comment from a prominent Russian sports blogger. The second time, he wanted to schedule an interview. The third message he left was about damage control. Gino rolls his eyes and puts his agent's calls on mute. Book excerpt here. Long one, too. Gino exhales shakily and reaches for his cup of tea, only to find that it has gone stone cold. He should probably eat something. He should probably take a break and a step back from the book, too. But he can't. He can't stand the idea that other people have read this, that strangers have read Sid's thoughts, and Gino hasn't. Sid would probably laugh at him for being weirdly possessive. It wouldn't be the first time. Sid has never seemed to mind, and he... Sid has never seemed to... Sid never seemed to mind, and he never read into it. Or if he did, he kept it to himself. Most days, Gino's okay with that. Other days, though... Well, it's hard not to wonder, what if? Today is shaping up to be one of those days. His cell phone pings again, bringing him out of his thoughts. Not Seroja this time. Sasha, of course. Gino sighs. If he doesn't answer it now, he'll just get a series of increasingly annoying voicemails until he gives in. He picks up. If you're calling to gloat over training camp, Zhenya! Sasha gasps, all mock offense. I'm hurt that you could think such a thing. I'm hurt that you would think such a thing. Incidentally, though, those rookies look more and more like children every year. How is it that they can move so fast and still not be in the right place? They are young, and their captain's stupidity is contagious, Gino says affectionately. I should take them drinking, Sasha replies, with the air of someone who agrees completely. But I didn't call to talk about hockey. Of course he didn't. Have you read it yet? Gino scowls and flags down a waiter so he can order some food and a refill for his teapot. If you're referring to Sydney's book, he says, then the answer is that I'm trying, but if you and Seryozha don't leave me alone, I don't know how I'm supposed to finish. There's a pause. You didn't get an advanced copy? I didn't even know there was a book until this morning! It comes out sounding more hurt than he intended. Damn it! Sasha doesn't need any more ammunition. Another pause, gentler this time. When Sasha speaks again, he's making an obvious effort at levity. Your captain, he's a strange one. Are you absolutely sure? Sasha, Gino says sharply. Sighs. Yes. Then finish the book, Sasha advises. Gino's tea arrives. I'm hanging up now, he says. Thank God, you're so clingy, Zhenya. The line goes dead. Gino orders salmon with a side of grain salad and reads to the end of chapter 4. Then chapter 5. The cafe closes before Gino can finish. He pays his tab, adds a generous tip, and debates taking a cab home so he can continue reading. In the end, he decides walking will take less time than waiting for a taxi. The whole time, snatches of Sid's book chase each other through his mind. Another book excerpt here. Because Gino doesn't have any kind of luck today, his mother calls before he makes it all the way home. He sighs. Hello, Mama. She could be calling to ask how things are progressing with his lawyer. She asks him about it at least once a week. But he just talked to her about it yesterday, to tell her the last of the background checks had been ordered. Zhenya, she says, and Gino knows what's coming next, sighs quietly while fishing in his pocket for his keys. Did you know? Everyone in Gino's life thinks he's an idiot or a coward. He frowns and lets himself into his apartment building. I'm fine, Mama. I had a good day. Didn't think about the penguins at all. Lies. How are you? Don't be smart, his mother says. I'm just worried about you. Answer the question. How did you even read the book? Gino huffs, closing the door to his apartment behind him, then locking it. It's only been published in English, and her eyesight is poor anyway. Reading for more than a few minutes gives her a headache. I didn't. Seryozha called. He's worried about you, Zhenya. Gino firms his mouth into a thin line and drops heavily onto his couch, defeated. His chest aches to match his knee, and he rubs his breastbone absently. His mother, of all people, should know better. How could I have known, he says. How could I have known and still come here? His mother makes an impatient noise. Oh, fuck. I realize I don't actually know how to pronounce that.
What is it? Dorogomoy.
Dorogomoy?
That's as close as I can get it.
Yeah.
We can always go back and redo
it. Yeah, that can be redone, but...
Dorogomoy.
His mother makes an impatient noise. You weren't ready to retire then, Dorogomoy. And it wouldn't have been fair to ask Sydney to stay. And it wouldn't have been fair to ask Sydney to stay while you kept playing. That is true. It still hurts Gino that Sid's career is over, even though it's been 2 years. Even though he has his own to be hurt over now. They all love the game, but no one loved it like Sid. He sighs again. If he dwells, he'll get maudlin. Mama. Well, you know now, she points out. So, what are you going to do about it? What Gino does about it is he stays up reading until 3 in the morning. What Gino does about it is he stays up until 3 in the morning reading before his eyes won't take it anymore, and he has to go to bed. But he wakes up at 9 the next day and goes right back at it, sitting at his kitchen table, ignoring his phone. Everyone he's ever said two words to wants to talk about Sid. Breaking only when his stomach growls loudly enough to disrupt his concentration. Breaking only when his stomach... Words. Fucking words. I don't know. Breaking only when his stomach growls loudly enough to disrupt his concentration. Both his Russian and his American agent try to get in contact for a reaction. Gino tells him he's not finished yet, and then switches his phone off. The thing is, Sid is a decent writer. Maybe part of the reason why Gino is so interested is because it's Sid, and he's always had a soft spot where Sid is concerned. But part of it is that, like this, on paper, Sid is engaging and funny and sweet and kind of dorky. The way Gino always knew him, not at all the way the media presented him. It makes Gino miss the real Sid. For 2 years now, he's been avoiding moving on. He knows he won't ever really be over it, the torch he's carried for years. But it doesn't actively hurt, either. Sid left, and Gino doesn't blame him. Only now, Gino's starting to think that he shouldn't have given up so easily. By the time he finishes the book, Sid hasn't returned any of his calls or emails. That's not unusual, but it feels different this time. Gino knows that if he wants answers, he'll have to go to the source. It's just that he doesn't know where that is. Fortunately, he knows how to find out. Gino's plane lands in Pittsburgh in the early afternoon. By the time he collects his bags and drops them at his house, he hasn't decided if he's going to sell it. He's already exhausted. But training camp should have just finished, and he doesn't need to go far. It's basically just down the street. He tries not to get too maudlin when he passes Sid's old place. Gino can't tell if there's a new family living there or not. If he's projecting, and that's what makes it look empty and sad. At his destination, the car parked in the driveway is... still tick-tick-ticking as the engine cools. Good. Maybe he'll catch his prey off guard. Or maybe hell will freeze over, Gino thinks with an inward sigh as the front door opens to reveal Flower. If you're here to come out of retirement, he says, you missed the first 4 days of training camp. Gino glares at him. I guess I don't have to ask if you read the book. Flower continues. His tone is light, but he hasn't invited Gino inside. And something about his posture is vaguely threatening. Gino supposes that his physical presence in North America probably makes that an unnecessary question. Can I come in? He finally says. Flower smiles and steps back from the door. Well, you ask so nice. He pulls Gino into a hug when they get close enough. Claps him on the back. Good to see you. Gino rubs his hair. He can't help it. It's instinct. Flower laughs and shoves him away. Come in. You want a beer? It's a nice day, so they sit in the backyard. Lazily watching Estelle chase her little sister, who's chasing butterflies with a net. They've gotten big. It's okay. It's a nice day, so they sit in the backyard, lazily watching Estelle chase her little sister, who's chasing butterflies with a net. They've gotten so big, Gino thinks. Weird to think that next time he sees them, they'll be so much bigger yet. They make him think of Russia, of papers waiting to be signed, dreams waiting just below the surface of consciousness. So, Flower says, knocking his beer bottle against Gino's. How do they say in English? This isn't a social call. Gino twists his mouth. English is such a clumsy language. From the look on Flower's face, he agrees. Didn't fly to Pittsburgh for beer with you, he says. He would if Flower needed him to, and probably will someday, when Flower's body betrays him the way Gino's has. Especially not shitty Canadian beer. He adds, snorting, Flower kicks at his leg. Bring your own next time then, bully. Bring your own next time then, bully. Something about him seems different. Maybe it's just that he's older, a little subdued. Gino started noticing it when Sid left, but it's more pronounced now. Things okay here? He asks cautiously. Flower shakes his head. Same as always. Gino takes that to mean the media in Pittsburgh continues to be the media in Pittsburgh and lets it slide. Did he tell you he was writing it? Did he tell you he was writing it? The question comes out sharp, sudden, sounding a little hurt. Gino lets himself look unhappy for a second before answering. There's an unhappy pinch to Flower's mouth, and his gaze is downcast. No, he says, and surmises that Sid didn't tell Flower either, hence the problem. He never say anything to me either. He tries not to be offended by the way Flower is obviously mollified. He raises his eyes again, brow smoothing out. So you didn't know? And they're talking about something different now, not the book at all. Gino sighs. Apparently he's doomed to repeat this conversation until eternity. Did you? With a huff, Flower admits... About Sid? No. About you? He shrugs. Yeah, Gino figured. He spent his entire life ignoring his attraction to men. He likes women, liked sleeping with them, dating them, liked sleeping with them, dating them even, at least until Sid. He never could hide his feelings for Sid. "Everyone think I'm stupid," he says. "Sit around for years knowing. Never do anything, only, what is word? Pine? Pine," Flower says after a moment's thought. "Pine," Gino agrees. And the truth is, he did pine, a little. If realizing you were so hopelessly in love with someone, you couldn't have counted... He did pine, a little. If realizing you were so hopelessly in love with someone, you couldn't have counted as pining, even when you weren't particularly sad about it. He and Sid were friends. They were close. It was enough. But only because he'd convinced himself he could never have more. He'd never known Sid to have a romantic relationship with anyone, never mind another man. Never mind another player from his team. As long as Gino had known him, the Penguins had accepted that was something that Sid just didn't do. Maybe he should have asked. He intends to do so now, anyway. Better late than never. "You know where he is?" Gino asks. Flower snorts again. The question every sports journalist on the continent tries to answer. Gino winces. Sid will hate that. "No, I don't know. Sorry." "Fuck. But I know who does." Insert chapter 12 here. The Toronto neighborhood Flower sends him to is nice. Tiny postage stamp yards and neatly maintained gardens and flower boxes. Grade-level garages. Brick buildings with tall, skinny windows. It doesn't seem the kind of place a professional hockey player would live. Then again, this isn't just any hockey player. Gino parks his rental car on the street and rings the doorbell. For a few moments, nothing happens. Then he hears footsteps, light and quick. The click of tumblers in the lock. And the door flies open. He braces himself. "Gino!" Taylor squeals, launching herself into his arms. Gino's lucky he kept his conditioning up. Or he might have fallen backward off the step. "Hi, Taylor," he says into her hair, squeezing her back just as tightly. "Long time." "Too long," Taylor says firmly, giving his back a firm slap before letting go. "Your timing sucks, though. I was just on my way to practice." When she steps back, Gino really sees her for the first time. She's wearing leggings and leg warmers and Under Armour, her hair half braided. "I give you a ride," he offers. "Can talk on the way." Taylor gives him a speculative look. "I have a better idea." And that's how Gino ends up at practice with the Toronto Furies in gear Taylor... And that's how Gino ends up at practice with the Toronto Furies in gear that Taylor sweet... In gear Taylor sweet-talked the Marlies equipment manager into loaning him. It's a good practice, But the atmosphere is just familiar enough for... is just familiar enough to make him homesick for Pittsburgh. Taylor has grown immensely as a goalie in the past few years. Gino squeaks a few past her, but he honestly can't say if it's down to luck or skill. Maybe both. "Looking good, Cross," one of her teammates shouts. I hope you brought your game face, though. Gino looks over at where the woman is gesturing and startles. Even though women's hockey is gaining an audience, He doubts that it's normal for one of their practices to draw that much attention from the press. They must be here for Taylor, for a soundbite on Sid's book. If they notice Gino here, too, that's going to be a whole other kettle of fish he doesn't want to open. Chances are he's already been noticed. A few of the girls on the team are taller than 6 feet. But their practice gear matches. His doesn't. This could be bad. The last thing Gino wants is to talk to the media about Sid's book. He sprays to a stop next to Taylor's net and lowers his voice. What do you want to do? I'll handle it, Taylor assures him. You want me to sneak you out of here? His relief must be obvious because she rolls her eyes. Hey, Captain. This is the part where I started, like, yelling on Twitter. I was just like, no, no, Hillary Knight is Boston. But, like, yeah.
But yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I'm just like, this feels wrong.
It does. But it's the future.
It is the future.
Anything can happen in the future.
Up to and including Hillary Knight getting traded.
But who would trade Hillary Knight? Like, on purpose?
Yeah, right.
Like, she would have to want to go. Well, do they even trade in CWHL?
I don't think at the moment.
It probably entirely depends on if a player needs to move or something for a
job. Yeah.
Fund women's hockey!
Right?
It's driving me nuts.
Okay. Anyway, that rant over.
It's an important rant.
It is a very important rant. Hillary Knight crashes the net, her long brown ponytail spilling out the back of her helmet. Gino gets out of the way just in time to see Taylor make a spectacularly quick glove save. Nice, Knight says approvingly, tapping Taylor on her helmet. You were telegraphing, Taylor tells her. Lazy. Then, listen, I need a favor. She explains the situation briefly, behind the plexiglass. News crews with microphones and cameras await. At the end of the explanation, Knight rolls her eyes. You sure you did the right thing volunteering to be your pain-in-the-ass brother's literary agent? Taylor doesn't look at Gino. Yep. Knight claps a gloved hand on Gino's shoulder. All right, then. Come with me if you want to live.
Oh my god. Hillary Knight is Han Solo.
Yes.
Amanda Castle is Princess Leia.
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yes. Sneaking out of the arena without getting caught by the press feels a little nostalgic. Almost like sneaking out of an airport bathroom in Finland. Knight giggles. Love her.
Me too.
Knight giggles as she herds him quickly back to the locker room to change, then into a janitorial supply closet. I'll have Kroz come get you when it's safe, she promises. Flicking on the light, hope you brought your cell phone. Gino did, in fact, bring his phone. He spends the next 40 minutes scrolling through news articles he's been avoiding. Starting with the hockey news and then all the local Canadian stuff before winding down with Deadspin. One of the articles is called All Out of Fucks, Sidney Crosby Speaks. The first part of the title is a direct quote. No one's come right out and said anything, but the speculation is there, if you know how to read between the lines. What if Sidney Crosby retired to the Canadian wilderness to nurse his broken heart? Gino's irritated. Sidney had to leave the NHL. Of course he's heartbroken. But they mean over him. The worst part is that he doesn't know if they have a point, or if all that is just Sid being Sid. Forever effusive when it comes to Gino's hockey. With any luck, Taylor will be able to help him to figure that out. Taylor will be able to help him figure that out. And if not, well. He's hoping she'll lead him straight to the source. Taylor finally comes down to rescue him when his battery life is down to 10%. He flicks the screen off and shoves it in his pocket as Taylor rolls her eyes at him for what feels like the 12th time. Come on, she says. You can buy me dinner and I'll decide if I'm going to tell you what you can buy me dinner and I'll decide if I'm going to tell you what you want to know. Gino doesn't see that he has much of a choice, so he follows Taylor's directions to a steakhouse. Of course. What? Taylor says Taylor says off his only vaguely accusatory silence. Like you don't like steak. Come on. They get a table near the kitchen, out of the way of any prying eyes. Though women's hockey hasn't gotten so big, Though women's hockey hasn't gotten so big that Taylor's easily recognizable off the ice. It's probably for the best, since neither of them is dressed for anything nicer. After Taylor hands back her menu, she's ordered crab cakes. She's ordered crab cakes for an appetizer and surf and turf with a side of steamed veggies. And the waitress has left. She folds her arms on the table. So. Gino reminds himself that she's not actually intimidating, because he's known her since she was a preteen. But it only sort of works. He sighs and decides to turn the tables. Did you know? Taylor shakes her head. Come on, this is Sid. I'm still not sure I know. He can be a little too earnest sometimes, I guess. It throws people off. She takes a sip of her wine. But I'd be lying if I said I'm not curious. Gino fights the urge to scrub a hand through his hair. Me too. The waitress comes by with her appetizers. Taylor thanks her, then waits for her to leave before spitting Gino with a serious look. That's really not good enough for me to tell you where he is, G. I assume that's what you want to know? Somehow he figured that. But he doesn't know what else he's supposed to say. He hasn't even seen Sid in 2 years. Can't just take my favorite Crosby to dinner? You're hilarious. She trades one of her crab cakes for a piece of his bruschetta without asking. It's an old routine between them now. Seriously, though. That's what you're here to find out. Convince me I should tell you. Gino pokes at his crab cake, at a loss for what to say. Under the table, something nudges his leg. He looks up and meets Taylor's eyes. If you can't get through it with me, I don't know how you're going to do it with Sid. Gino wonders when Sid's little sister grew more mature. Gino wonders when Sid's little sister grew more mature than him. Second cup win, he says finally. In the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that long ago. Before that, can't make a relationship work with my girlfriend. I'm not understand why. Then we win the cup, and I'm see Sid's face, and I think that's why it never works. Don't really want to. Don't really want it to. Taylor nudges him with her foot again, another show of support. But he knows she means for him to go on. I'm never think Sid feels the same. He never with anyone. Taylor nods around a bite of crab cake. Believe me, I know. Gino shrugs. Then he retires, and he's gone. And he's gone. Never even come to a game in 2 years. Never even comes to a game in 2 years. Then I'm retired, and he never tell me about book. And he never tells me about book. Then I'm retired, and he never tells me about book. Doesn't answer phone or email. He doesn't realize how much it hurts until he says it out loud. He thought he was fine, that he could live with it, but obviously not. Obviously, he still needs closure. Right now, he just feels like a part of him has been cut off. He tries to take a bite of bruschetta to buy himself some time, but it's hard to swallow. He washes it down with a sip of wine. One glance across the table tells him he isn't fooling Taylor. But he's gotten this far. He's not going to back down now. He read Sid's book in 2 days and bought a last-minute plane ticket to Pittsburgh. Then he flew to Toronto. He isn't going home until he puts this to rest. If it's still... I don't know. But have to try, right? Taylor swallows. Yeah. She huffs a little, blowing her bangs out of her face, before smiling again and finishing off her appetizer. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was sort of hoping when I got him to publish it. When I got him to agree to publish it. Blinking, Gino puts his wine glass down. You get him to do this? Taylor flushes a little and smiles a small secret smile. Yeah, I was visiting and found the manuscript. He actually had the whole thing printed out like a complete noob. It's like he wanted me to read it. She pauses and wrinkles her brow. Maybe he did. I told him I want to be a literary agent. That's kind of a dying art these days, but hey, I got a better first project than most. Gina resolves once again never to get on Taylor's bad side. You want me to read it, he realizes. With a shrug, Taylor finishes off the last of her bruschetta. Sid obviously wasn't going to say anything about it ever, because he's Sid. Besides, he's a pretty good writer. The book is way more interesting than those interviews he used to give. That makes him laugh. They used to have a drinking game to go along with Sid's post-game interviews. Every time he offered no information but what the interviewer already knew, take a drink. Even Gino could get a good buzz going from a few minutes of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They spend the rest of the evening chatting about the Fury's upcoming season, Taylor's plans to renovate her downstairs bathroom, whether dessert counts as cheating on the diet plan if you're sharing it. Gino says no. Taylor says yes, but splits the triple chocolate brownie with him anyway. It's not until he's dropping her off at home that she turns to him and tells him what he wants to hear. Come back tomorrow morning. Early. Gino's heart thumps too hard, trying to jump up in his throat. When's early? 7? It's a long drive. She leans over, inspecting the gear shift. Then she looks up and offers half a smile. And you're going to need a different rental car. Something with four-wheel drive and a GPS. And chapter 15 of the book goes here. Okay. And then we hit Sam being... Yeah. So we're not recording that bit.
Nope. Let's hit the play button again.
This one?